Let's pick up where we left off yesterday. The recording for yesterday won't have been posted for a variety of reasons. But let's get started. We mamish are going to do a quick review of what we covered yesterday. There's source sheets hanging around in the front rows over here. I printed out the new packet. It does cover some of what we had on yesterday's sheet, but then I added a bunch more to sort of be able to go through the sugya. So just to recap very briefly yesterday, what we covered in terms of the chiyuv to wear a head covering. And again, we talked about lots more, and I'm not going to get into details. Shailas, we covered a lot of those yesterday. Feel free to ask me after here if you have any specific questions that I can or cannot answer. Most likely cannot, since I'm not a rabbi anyways, but regardless of that. So we had two major gemaras that we focused on in terms of the chiyuv to wear a head covering, which were linked to each other. There were others as well. But we talked about one was that there was the minhag of Rav Huna Bar Yehoshua was not to walk 4 amos with his head uncovered. And also, he said in a different Gemara, Tasty Lee, I have it coming. I'm going to get such schar because I don't walk 4 amos with an uncovered head. And we talked about the different implications from these Gemaras. Is this an absolute obligation or not? The Pashas of the Shulchan Aruch, which we have over there in this section as well, was debated whether the Shulchan Aruch B'Pashtus means that it's an absolute Isser or whether the Shulchan Aruch B'Pashtus means that it's a Midas Chasidus. The conclusion that we came to yesterday from a variety of factors, certainly the Shita of the Raman, we argue that the Raman not disagreeing with the Shulchan Aruch is proof that at least the Raman thought the Shulchan Aruch saying is Midas Chasidus, that it's a Midas Chasidus. Yes, wow. First, early questions.
Walking or just moving?
Well, that's the whole shir today. Okay, so walking for, that's why we're going to talk about roller coasters. So again, the Gemara uses the language, the Aramaic word masgi, okay, or sagina, samach gimel, which is the Hebrew equivalent of lahaloch, or lelech, okay? So the root lech, I'm not going to get into two-letter roots, three-letter roots, we had enough of grammar disaster yesterday during Echa, when we were learning Echa a little bit. Rashi says there's a one-letter shoresh. So anyways, but moving back, or it's one letter of the shorash that appears in that word. Moving back away from grammar, that was the Shulchan Aruch. Again, the Pashtus, the way we understood, certainly from the Ramah, but many said in the Shulchan Aruch, that's a minas chasidus to wear a kippah when you walk 4 amos. Is there minas chasidus also less? Also discussion, we talked about a little bit, not too much that we talked about, but also possibly. And then finally, last but not least, we talked about, okay, so let's assume that the Shulchan Aruch does say it's a Midas Chasidus to wear a kippah. Why else might we wear a kippah? And we brought two additional discussions. One was the Rav Avadya that we brought over here from Chabad Das, again, other places as well, that since it's turned into a symbol of what a frum Jew looks like, to walk around without a kippah is almost, he says, obviously we don't make up our own theros, but almost a maris ayin that people will think that you are a porig ol, that you are someone who is not religious. And that's not a good thing. And then we brought the Taz to talk about the Taz argued, and again, there were different ways to read the Taz. Our preferred read of the Taz was to say that sitting down and immediately removing your kippah is a violation of Chukos Agoy, since many non-Jews would sit down and immediately remove their hats and their head coverings. And we talked about the various applications of that, because this would be an additional Isser, okay, that would be beyond just the regular obligation of wearing kippah on your head, and we talked about how we can avoid that yesterday with the laws of Uchukusem Lo Selechu, what kind of hacker would there have to be if this is not the case, etc., 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 possibly not even applying. Yes?
So the reason that taking off the kippah and sitting down would be because of Uchukusem Goy, would that mean if when the non-Jew would be the way to have or continue sitting?
So that is a very fascinating question, which is a different sugya altogether, but it ends up being a machlokas. The question is, let's say we did something first, and the non-Jews took it from us, and it really became like a real chukas agoy. For example, some people bring this up, obviously. Anybody know where this is most discussed? Just happened? Where the question of chukos hagoy, where non-Jews do something that we already had a tradition of doing, do we cancel our tradition because it became a famous non-Jewish practice? I'm saying people bring it up in a variety of contexts. The most discussed is
there weddings like the
chuppah? There are parts of weddings that are very much chukos hagoy. Unfortunately, we don't really deal with those. We just do them. There are people that have all sorts of discussions. Shavuos, flowers and shul on Shavuos, flowers and homes on Shavuos. There's a lot of discussion about chukos hagoy relating to that. It's famous gra. But the the simple understanding is, if non-Jews were to suddenly, A, start wearing hats again, and B, to keep those hats on always, even when they sat down, and there was no good reason for it, then there might be a minority opinion that would say that we should try to do something different. However, based on what we know about the background of our practice of leaving yarmulkes on, it would be very hard, I think, in fact, impossible to justify stopping wearing yarmulkes based on that, for a number of reasons. But I just think that would be too hard. Yes?
If like the minority opinion that would say that we, let's say, shouldn't wear or keep us sitting down if all non-Jews start to wear hats, wouldn't that show that like there's no, like, there's nothing substantial behind what we do, we're just trying to be different than them?
So to clarify, obviously this doesn't apply to a mitzvah. For example, let's say non-Jews all started getting bris milas. And again, obviously you can't distinguish, and for those who weren't here yesterday, for Chukas HaGoy, we need one of two things to be fulfilled. Either the reason is expressly not good, meaning the reason for the practice is a bad reason, a anti-Hashem reason, a pretzis reason, or there is no reason given at all. Since for all of these Jewish practices, we have good reasons, so were to non-Jews adopt them, this would all be sort of a theoretical discussion. That being said, in a theoretical discussion, were there to be a potential bad reason for non-Jews doing this, we would be able to stop doing certain things which are not really obligatory, which are just customs that we've started, but not things which obviously are mitzvahs, right? If non-Jews started wearing tzitzis because it's a fad and wearing strings makes you more appealing to potential sexual partners, for example. I mean, I'm trying to think of something priestess related to come up with a reason. We wouldn't stop wearing tzitzis because of that. But again, like these are not really discussions that can happen. Maybe one day we'll have a shiur on flowers on Shavuos, and we'll get into that. Yes.
Why is taking the hat off? Very reasonable.
What's the reasonable thing?
Inside, it's not respectful to you have.
So, again, the Taz argued in the piece that we saw yesterday that it's not that it was not justifiable by standard logic. He felt it was not justifiable as a matter of respect. He felt that it was actually somewhat of a negative reason for it, and the reason that he gave is because we know covering your head shows fear of God, so uncovering your head specifically shows lack of respect and fear. That was, again, the Taz's argument, and again, you could argue that that's just a normal thing to do. I happen to know of a big Talmud Chacham who was not choshish for this Taz, who in the height of anti-Semitic times was very concerned about wearing a kippah in a certain place that they went, and they would, in fact, in order to not walk four amos without their head being covered, they would sit. They would wear a hat. And I don't know how many people were wearing hats when this happened. It was a while ago. It was probably 50, 60 years ago. I don't know how many people were wearing hats of non-Jews, so maybe he felt that there's no longer such a chashash. But the bottom line is, he would sit down, take off his hat, put it on before he left again. Now, he would also be walking around inside with it on. Again, what's exactly the chukas like? But whatever, there's different mahalchim over here. So, today's cheer topic really is to figure out what about the roller coaster part of things. We talked about the head covering, what about the roller coaster, and we're going to need back there Jacob's tree back. From yesterday, maybe we'll bring it to the front today so we don't have to injure anybody. Jacob's very happy, okay? So, one of the last things we did yesterday was we began to discuss the sugya of Rahu Kimahalev, Rotev Kimahalev, depends on how modern Hebrew grammatically correct you want to be. And we're just going to get our tree out here. For those of you who are listening to the recording, we have a very wonderful whiteboard, which we are going to be putting sideways over our heads so that we can have a good visual of the tree. There we are. Okay, here we are. Here's our tree again. Now we can walk it like this. Okay. So, the Taz, in two places that we brought, and I brought you here again on the sheet, made a comment in regards to wearing a kippah. If the assumption is that there is a prohibition to walk for amos, not wearing a kippah, what about sitting in a car? What about sitting in a wagon in the Taz's day? What about all those things? Says the Taz, first in Aruch Chaim, then in Yeridea, V'lo yelach b'gili arosh, ayin mashu kasav nishtim chesed peiz mizeh, v'nira li, tihu adinim rochev al gabe behema o yoshe v'agala hu kimahalech. Says the Taz, seems to me that if you're riding on an animal, or you're sitting in a wagon, It's like you're walking. Rochev kimahalach dami says the Taz. Very simple. It says in the end of the first parak of Kiddushin that someone who is riding is like they are walking. So if you have to walk, if when you're walking for amos, you have to wear a kippah. When you are riding on an animal for four amos, you have to wear a kippah. When you are sitting in a wagon, you have to wear a kippah because rachuv kimahalech, rochev kimahalech. You're riding, so therefore you're walking. And says the Tarzan Yeridea, where this law of Rochev Kimahalach comes up, which we said was in regards to Talmidei Chachamim, Techashiv Kimahalach, Mizel Amadnu, says the Taz. Taz is very mad. She'osan she'nosan b'derech al hagala v'yoshlem fami b'gili rosh. That those who travel when they're in wagons and they sit around, kacha, with nothing on their heads, and they think there's nothing wrong with that. They say, well, I'm not walking for Amos. That's wrong. That sitting on a wagon is like sitting on a donkey. Again, we pointed out this language yesterday. And it's like you are walking. Yes? Yes?
If someone's going on a treadmill and they're not going anywhere, then would the Taz say that they don't have to wear a kippah?
So, very interesting. So we're going to discuss a little bit more. I didn't bring it so much in the sources today, but what is the problem of traveling for Amos, of walking for Amos without a kippah? So then why does it have to do with moving? I know, so what does it have to do with walking for Amos? Okay, and why does going places matter? And what degree of going places, right? So we need to think about this, and we'll get back to it a little bit later. But the bottom line is, the simple reading of the Taz here, and the simple reading of the Shulchan Aruch would say, even if you are walking, but you're jogging on the spot, or you're on a treadmill, doesn't seem to be an issue. Okay? That's the simple reading of this Taz. Yes? Presumably. I mean, during exercise is a separate discussion, which we touched on a little bit yesterday, but pashtus, again, is that this doesn't fall under the category of going for amos. Now, is there a chumrah even to wear it when you're standing still and when you're sitting? Potentially.
I think the chumrah for amos, it goes with the opinion. I'm not sure who said the opinion, but what we're talking about just that if you see someone not wearing a kippah, you think that they're not religious. So back to that previous point of walking for Amos. For Amos means you're going somewhere, and there's the potential of people seeing you.
Right. So that could be an explanation, except that those were historically different explanations. Meaning, it was only Rafuna Breit of Yeshua's Chumra to not walk for Amos, and the idea that Ravadya brought of it being a semel only came around, 1,500 years later or more, more even. So. That's not really a fair interpretation of the law. But on the other hand, we have to think of why would Rav Huna Brady of Yeshua want to do this, and maybe it could get closer to something along those lines. Okay, so let's look at the sugya. So I'm going to go over the sugya from the beginning to the end. Hopefully, not till the end. There's no end to any ending in Torah. But let's read the Gemara in Kiddushin. Ibai Lehu, they asked the following question. Rachuv kemahalech dami olo. Is someone riding like someone who is walking or not? Okay? On a simple level, what's this Gemara saying? Does riding have the same status as walking in halacha? Amar Abaye, Abaye says, Tashma, let me bring you a proof. Tame yoshev tachas ha'ilan v'tahor ome tame. If you have, and here we are, a tree again. Okay, everyone look at the tree. So the first case is, anybody want to volunteer to be the tahor today? Any volunteers? Do you want to get back at me from yesterday? Okay. So case number one. Tame Yoshev Tachas Ilam. I'm the Tame guy today. I'm sitting over here, and Jacob Tahar comes in, and he's standing under the tree. Okay? Tame Yoshev Tachas Ilam, the Tahar Omeg, you became Tame. Second case. Swap. Tame Omeg Tachas Ilam, I'm standing here. V'tahar Yoshev? Tahar, he's fine. Why? What's the rule that you're seeing so far?
If you're sitting, then you make the other person tame.
The only thing that makes someone else tame is if the tame person is sitting. We continue. And in this case, where I was standing and you were sitting, v'im yashav hatameh, and if I sit down now also, hatar tameh, you'd be tameh again. And finally, says the Gemara, v'chein be'even hamenugas. So too, with a stone from a house of Taraz. Now, the Tameh person, by the way, again, is a Mitzor over here. Just to clarify from yesterday, I went and looked through the sources a little bit. So, here are the general rules of Tumah Tahara for those who are wondering. Not talking about what makes someone an Ava Tumah, Rishon L'Tumah, etc. But, a dead body is considered an Aviyah Bosa Tumah. That phrase itself, by the way, is not really used with Mishnah Yisrael Gemara, but an Aviyah Bosa Tumah is the highest level of Tumah possible. A mace, therefore, is Mitameh Ba'ohel. Okay, since it is the highest level of tumah possible, a mace, if you put it under some sort of covering, and someone else passes underneath that covering, even if they are not sitting, I mean, the mace, I guess, is always sitting. That's kind of morbid to think about. But nevertheless, any two things under the same covering, under the same OL, if one of them is a dead body, the other one contracts tumas mace, and they will become an avatumah themselves. Now, wait, we're just going over the basics here. After we finish the basics now. All avos hatoma, all of them, without exception, says the Mishnah, are not mitame ba'ol. There is no av hatoma which is mitame ba'ol. It's only a mace. It's the only thing that's mitame ba'ol. However, there is a din by tumas tzaras. In certain cases, a din that we call bi'a, which means coming to a house, and that rule applies strictly to mitzoraim and things with tzara'as, and there are cases in which it's very similar, it ends up being very similar to tumas ohel. Now questions. Yes?
If there's, you know how like a load of blood of the mace is considered?
All those things are considered like a dead body. That's in pisaora and whatever.
So I'd say if there's like just a center of blood donations, and then like one of the people...
So it's not from a dead body. Okay, it has to be blood from a dead person, not blood from a live person.
Okay.
At least as far as I'm aware. Question?
When you say dead body, it has to be human. Like, an avail is not a tumah. Like, it's a dead body.
Correct. So it has to be a human. We're talking about a dead human body, yes. And Jews, non-Jews, okay, tzaddikim, all these wonderful shiurim, all these wonderful shiurim can be given at some other time. I'm not an expert at all in Tumah Tahara. In fact, I'm quite an Am Haaretz in Tumah Tahara. It's a good thing there's no Beis HaMikdash. Because then I'd be defined Am Haaretz. Anyways, someday I should go over and learn more of those halachos. But the bottom line is, in this Gemara, you can see Rashi explains this Gemara, that what's the case of Evan Hamanugas? So I have in my pocket, I mean, you know, you've heard of people, you know, like, you know, they have a stone from Eretz Yisrael that they carry with them, because of the love of Eretz Yisrael. They go down, when they reach Eretz Yisrael, they bow down, they kiss the floor. There's Kedusha to the holiness of Eretz Yisrael. So people carry around a little stone or a piece of dirt or something in their pocket, in their wallet. This guy's a bit of a weirdo. And he happens to know someone whose house was tzaraatized. So he's like, let me go and take, you know, a little piece of stone from their wall and carry this around with me. Why is he doing this? Heaven knows. But he took a stone that has tzaraas on it from the person's house. When there's an agatzaraas from the house. And he's now walking with it. So, says again this Gemara, the same status is true for an Evan Hamenugah. An Evan Hamenugah, again, is this stone that has a status of tzaraas. So if it's in the guy's pocket, if the guy's holding it in his hand, if he is the pashtus of the Mishnah, if he is walking by, even though, where is the stone? The stone is resting in his hand. You could call that stone sitting. You're still going to remain tahor. Only if the person stops and perhaps sits down with the stone in his hand, that is when the other person will become tummy. Okay? Therefore, says Rashi, we have a very clear proof that Rachuv kemahalich tummy. Rachuv, the stone which was riding, so to say, on the person, is not considered to be stagnant in its place. It's considered to be moving around. Questions which I'm sure will be addressed by some of the mepharshim we're going to talk about, but let's hear them anyways. Yes?
How are standing and sitting in the positions to
in regards to which case?
Okay,
the Evan Hamanugas or the people?
Both.
So here's the... Oh, so we'll discuss that. Next.
Okay. What if both people are standing and there is transfer of tumor or no?
So it only depends on the tummy, whether the tummy is considered sitting.
Oh, okay.
It's unclear from Rashi... Okay, it's unclear from Rashi the pashtus, I would say, from Rashi is that it's only when the person holding the stone is sitting that anyone else, even if they're standing, becomes tame.
And the comparison to Rashi is that when he's walking, it's as if he's standing.
No, when he's walking, well, sort of. The point is to say, there are two different things we can look at. We can look at the object being carried, and we can look at the carrier. Okay, which status do we apply to a tame object which is being carried? If we think of it as just being carried, it's in the person's hands the entire time. It's a big stone of tsaras. And if that's the case, if we were to look at it as stagnant, then even if I were to just walk by, the person would become tame. Yet that is not the case. The halacha is that in such a case, a person remains tahor. It's only when I, the rock carrier, sit down that anybody else, even if they're standing or passing by, becomes tame.
So, I'll make sure I understand the case. So, there's a stone. The stone is tzaras. The guy touches the stone.
Not touches, holding the stone with him.
He's holding the stone, he's tame, and then there's another guy.
It's not about him being tame or not, it's about the stone.
The guy, both of them are tame, and they go into the structure, and then if he's sitting down, then the other guy who just came in, he's tame and not tame.
Correct. No matter what the other guy is doing, just like every other case.
Yeah.
Yes. Oh, I thought you had a question. Perfect. Just scratching your head.
Yeah. What about if he throws the stone on the floor or something like that?
If the stone rests on the floor, you have the same issue, yes. Because then the stone is sitting there. Yes. Absolutely. Okay. Okay. So this is basically Rashi's approach to it. We went through the Rashi in more detail yesterday. But Rashi's... I want to point to a few lines in Rashi. Let's begin with, number one, the first line in Rashi. If I were to ask you... And again, we're going to go for some... a little bit outside the box... Lumdis and readings of Gemara Rishonim here, which is not usually, but it's good for you to expose to out-of-the-box readings. If you were reading the Gemara, and the Gemara asked the words, Ibayilihu Rachav Kemahalach Dami, what would you say? What would you say that means? If you were explaining to me, so I told you, the Gemara asked, Ibayilihu Rachav Kemahalach Dami Olo. How would you explain that to me?
Are they the same?
Is Rachav the same as Mahalach? Would you give me a specific case? Is Rachuv in this case the same as Mahalach in this case? So if you're Rashi, you might, because it is the context of the Gemara, after all, we're talking about people, standing up for Talmidei Chachamim. So you might. Or maybe you wouldn't. Maybe if you were really one of these people that says, listen, the Gemara's rules are rules. Rachuv kim Mahalach should apply maybe in all cases. Would you have to specifically say, if you were Rashi, Rabba Rachav Kemahalach Dami? People are medayik in this Rashi, not what I'm being medayik now, not what I'm trying to tell you, that maybe Rashi should have just stayed quiet, or should have said, Rochev al Behema Havei Kemahalach Olo. People are medayik in Rashi, why does he say specifically that the Rebbe is the one who's riding, as opposed to the Talmud is the one who's riding, and would there be a difference between the cases? People talk about that, we won't get into that, but that's one point in Rashi. Second, Rashi, as we noted yesterday, had the same girsa as our Gemara. Our Gemara probably was based on the fact that Rashi said this is the girsa, and we noted that there's another girsa. Let's look, a beautiful piece in Rabbi Yashi, if he really fleshes this out. It's a little bit hard to follow, but I will try to do my best to answer the earlier questions as part of this discussion. Dr. Rabbi Tamiyahu and Tachzilam, Torah Yoshev, again, Kain Garas Rashi al Pia Taras Kohanim. This was Rashi's Girsa based on Taras Kohanim. Aval the Mishnayis Negami says, but if you actually open up the Mishnah, which the Gemara is quoting, in our Mishnayis, here's what we have. Garas is the following thing. Listen to this. Changes the whole Mishnah. Ha Tahar Omei Tachasi Ilan. Who wants to be our Tahar now? Anyone?
I'll be a Tahar.
Beautiful. I mean, it's worse, because you're the tallest person here. It's literally the worst person to put under this teeny little board over here. So here's what the Mishnayos have. Hatahar omei tachas ilan, vehatame over. Who is sitting?
Nobody.
No one's sitting. What's the halacha in that case?
Nobody.
Okay?
No, the same.
Tahor. However, if while I was walking, I stopped.
For a second.
Presumably, and he's going to say what type of stopping counts. Now you become Tamei. So again, did anybody sit here? No sitting. Now you can go out. Okay, let's continue. Okay? The Girsas HaMishnah Sover, says Rabbi Eliashiv. So what's the Lumdus? What are these two possible Girsos based on? What did we say yesterday was the logic for someone having to sit? What did Rashi quote from the Taras Kohanim? Michutz LaMachaneh Moshavo. Specifically, if you want to be Metame in this fashion, there has to be a Moshav, a sitting, a yeshiva, says Rabbi Eliashiv. The Mishnah holds no. Dehad Darshina Michutz LaMachaneh Moshavo Moshavo Tameh. Lo ba'inan yeshiva mamish, elahu adin amida dein yeshiva elalashon akava. What does it mean to sit?
It means
to stop moving. Very good. Again, so we've got two girsos. The girs of our Gemara in the Taras Kohanim that Rashi quoted, is it sitting versus standing? The girs of the Mishnah, which as we're going to see in a moment, was the girs of the Rambam, is stopping moving versus moving. Again, moving versus stagnant. Etc. The Efshir Lashen. Now listen to what he says. I think this is such a fascinating point. The Efshir Shehaya Larashi Hechreach. Ligros Bigamara Kan Kitaras Kohanim. He says, I think here is the following point that Rashi chose to follow the gears of the Taras Kohanim as opposed to the gears of the Mishnah. Why? According to the Mishnah, what are our two possibilities? Either you are moving or you are stationary. That was a better word. That's the word I looked for before. I said stagnant. Stagnant is not the right word at all. Either you are moving or you are stationary. Does that teach you rachuv kimahalech? Says Rabbi Yashiv, no. What are the words rachuv kimahalech? Right, the ha'inu mechalek elabein holech leomed umehecha tesi datam mishum rachuv kimahalech. Says because if you're just reading the Mishnah according to the Mishnah's girsa, it's all about moving and not moving. Do I need to say that a person becomes tamei because a rachuv is like a mahalech? No. You know why the person becomes tamei? Because it's stationary versus moving. If you learn the Mishnah like the Mishnah Negayim's girsa, where it's just stationary versus moving, it's very simple. Since the stone is not in one place as it moves by, the person's going to be tahor. You don't have to say it's because of a lumdus of rachuv kimahalech. You don't need that lumdus. You just look at it. Is it moving or not? Mash says, Rabbi Eliashiv, that's why Rashi knew that the Taras Kohanim is better. Why? Aval Taras Kohanim shaper muchach to rachuv kimahalech. Because according to Rashi, it's about standing versus sitting 1 second. That means that when someone is walking with it, and it's being carried, okay, even if the person were to be standing, the other person would remain tahor. So therefore, the reason, in order to say, like Rashi in Taras Kohanim, is because Rachuv Kimahalech. You need to come onto Rachuv Kimahalech in order to say why the stone does not make the person Tamei when it is just sitting there in that same position throughout. Because it's not about the moving versus non-moving, according to Rashi. It's about the standing versus sitting. Yes?
So when you say stationary, that's standing or sitting, it doesn't really matter?
Correct. Okay. So that's his point.
So if Rashi says that standing and sitting are different, the other opinion is that standing and sitting is the same.
Correct. Stopping versus moving.
Right.
Stationary versus moving. Very good. Okay, and he says, by the way, Amira hainu omid lafush avalomid lakate flav amira. If you're just standing to adjust your package for a second, meaning it has to be like you're standing to rest. You're like you're actually stopping to move. If you just pause for a second, you know, you were tripping or something like that, that's not considered standing. But the bottom line is, I think what's the takeaway here, for those of you who are having trouble following this, because it's a very, very docistic point that he's making in the Girsa, is that rachuv kimahalech, those words, depending on my Girsa, can be interpreted in two different ways. The simple understanding, which I admit to Rabbi Eliashiv, is that rachuv kimahalech has to mean the act of riding, or the act of being carried, is like the act of moving. It's like the act of standing. Okay? Meaning to say, because otherwise, the stone would be considered to be sitting. Again, the stone would be considered to be sitting if we looked at the stone in and of itself as the object being carried, which would mean it would impart tumah. However, according to the other view, since the stone was moving, mimanafshach, we would not say that it imparts tumah. And that's his point here to say that rachuv kemahalech, the simple meaning that a rider is like something, is like someone walking, is only according to Rashi's gears. According to the other gears, so rachuv kemahalech simply means that both of them are moving, and therefore, obviously, there's no tumah over here. Yes.
What if someone's moving while standing?
What do you mean, like just on a hoverboard?
Sure.
That's our next discussion. Very good question. So, do you need a walkingness? Do you need a standing on feet or not? Again, he sort of ties it into this discussion of the gears.
That's a donkey. No,
what?
That's a donkey also.
What's a donkey?
Sitting and moving.
Well,
yeah.
Yeah.
Correct. This is exactly where we're going. Wait. So now, if we're goreis, and by the way, the next section we're not going to read now, he talks about if let's say a Talmud Chacham is driving by, should you have to therefore stand up for them? Pashto says yes, right? Let's say you see a big rav, you have to stand up. He talks about how in a car, if you're in a different rishus, it's not the same. But let's take a look at the Rambam, because the Rambam follows this other gear, so you can read it yourselves. I'm not going to go through it. I'm not going to talk about Talmud Torah because we have very, very little time, but the bottom line is like this. What does the rule of rachuv kemahalech actually tell us? So again, two possibilities. If we're going like the gears of Rashi, then what? If we're going like the gears of Rashi, what does rachuv kemahalech tell us? That rachuv, someone who's riding, is like they are mahalech, is like they are walking. Something which is being carried is like it itself is walking. That's Rashi. According to the Rambam, what do the words rachuv kemahalech essentially mean? According to the other gears, what do the words rachuv kemahalech essentially mean? That something which is moving is moving. Again, now why then would you choose the language rachuv kemahalech? Anybody? This I thought was again a bit outside the box thinking. Why would you choose the language of rachuv kemahalech? If Avraham Eliashiv is saying is correct, that according to the Rambam's girsa, according to the girsa of the Mishnah in Nigayim, which is a Mishnah, we can't deny the fact that this is a girsa in the Mishnah. Why is it that rachuv is kemahalech, if that is indeed the correct girsa of the Gemara? Because the stone is moving, so therefore the stone is moving. That's what rachuv kemahalech means. Moving is moving. Yeah, does that mean necessarily... Wait. Does that mean necessarily that moving is walking?
Mahalach doesn't mean walking, right?
Correct. Well, either mahalach doesn't mean walking, or what I'm suggesting now, an additional chiddush, is to say that when the Gemara says something to something else, that doesn't mean to say that the action of rachuv is like the action of mahalach, but rather the outcome of rachuv is like the outcome of mahalach. Because we know the halacha. What is the halacha if your rav is mahalach by? You have to stand up. So too, rachuv kemahalach. Not that the action of rachuv becomes the action of mahalach, but just like for a mahalach you have to stand up, so too by rachuv you have to stand up. You hear what I'm saying? So again, something to something else, the simple way, admittedly, like Rabbi Yashiv is saying, like Rashi is saying, is that this action is like this action, which makes it applicable, by the way, to all sorts of different situations, different scenarios. Makes it applicable to wearing a yarmulke. The action of rachuv is the action of mahalach. Whereas according to the other gears, according to the gears of the Mishnah, no. Someone who is riding, a Talmid Chacham who is riding, has the same status, has the same outcome as a Talmud Chacham that is walking, which is Nafka Mina, you need to stand up for them. Now, let's read some Rambam together. You do have to stand. That's the Gemara's conclusion. But I'm saying the Nafka Mina is how you read it, meaning...
Is that how you love this?
No, really, but that's Lamdas too. Because the Nafka Mina is, in order to stand up for a Talmud Chacham, do you have to be a Mahalech, or do you just have to be moving? That's the question, really, that comes out of the different yourselves of the Gemara. In order to become Tameh, do you have to be Mahalich, or do you have to be moving? According to the Girsa of the Mishnah, in order to become Tameh, you have to be stationary, not moving. according to the Girsa of Rashi, you have to be sitting. Right? This is what we discussed. So too, when it comes to Talmud Chacham, again, are we saying that Rahuv, someone who is riding on something else, is actually doing an action of Mahalech, and that's why you have to stand up? Or is it that since both of them are moving, we say Rahuv is Kimahalech, meaning that the din is the same by both? Now, what did we say was Pshat in the Rambam? The Rambam who says that it's about, who quotes the Girsa of the Mishnah. What then would be the Rambam's way of understanding the words Rahuv Kimahalech? That the status of Rahuv has the same status as Mahalech, right? So long as you are moving by, that's what makes someone stand up. And look what we found. Rambam, Hilchos Talmud Torah, Vav Aleph. Without seeing this, I went and looked up this Gemara, this Rambam today. Kol Talmud Chacham Mitzvah Lahadro, V'yafal Pi Shinu Rabbo, Shinemar B'nei Seva, Takum V'darta B'nei Zakein, Zakein Zeh Shekana Chachma, U'me'im Masai Chayavin Lamoni Panav. When do you have to stand up for someone? What word is missing? Mahalech. There's no mahalech. When the guy is moving by. Rachuv ke mahalech is not that someone who is riding is a walker. It's not like we saw in the Ran yesterday, which I quoted at the bottom of the page here. Ragli habehima nechsheves keraglav. It's not like Rashi says, right? Basar Adam Hanosla, Basar Adam Hanosa, Azlinan, right? That's not what's going on. For the Rambam, Rachuv is kimahalech as a din, but not as an action, as an outcome, but not as an action. And in fact, the Meiri usually, I have a Masara from my Rebbe, the Meiri, in general, the Meiri doesn't say who's Priyati saying, and he does, by the way, in this section. Say who is Pshat and he's saying, but he always is a good insight into Pshat in the Rambam. Says in Meiri a very interesting line. This idea of Rachuv Mahalech is applied to very many sugyas. Anybody know some of them? So one of them is, if you think of the nafka minas for this, are tremendous. One of them is obviously wearing a yarmulke, wearing kippah. Another one is, we're going to talk about Chatzar Mahaleches, whether a Chatzar can be kona if it's moving. Okay, what makes something a chatzer? What makes something a moving chatzer versus a stationary chatzer? What else? What other applications? Making a zimun. If rachuv kemahalech, this is a famous question, the Magen Avraham. You're sitting on a train, you're sitting in a car. Three people are sitting on a train, you're going cross country. Can you make a mezumin? Well, all of you are currently walking, so you can't make a mezumin maybe. Rachuv kemahalech. Now, you're looking at me like I'm crazy, but again, you have to deal with these things. There's so many different cases where this comes up. The most fascinating case where it comes up, what?
You're on a bench because you're not in the same spot that you were.
Also, in theory, is there a shinui makom? That might be a din in shinui makom, and what's a shinui makom? Can you be koveya a makom on this platform that you are standing? But what? We'll reference it. We're not there yet. We're not going to touch on it. Again, these are all important questions, but they all are nogea to the same rule. If you're going to be such a literalist about Rachuv Kemahalech, you have to know there's very many applications. And finally, the one application where it seems that most people are makel, let's say you're davening in the car. Do you have to park your car? Do you have to park your car? Yechavenes libo, and you, well, again, the question is what's lechatchila, what's bidieved, etc. But let's take a look. So the Beis Yosef brings what? Not allowed to daven while you're walking. Let's assume tefillah for a moment. What? Again, so the question is, what is bidyeven and what is lechatilah? So I'm going to read you a Meiri instead of reading you the Beis Yosef and all the Rishonim. The pashtus is, if you're in a wagon, the pashtus, rov Rishonim, not other than Rabbeinu Yonah, who brings Rachuv Kemahalech. Other than Rabbeinu Yonah, the pashtus of rov Rishonim is, you do not need to stop to daven. Let's read the Meiri. Zeu bi'ur mishna p'sak shel lefi ha'gemara hu she'ein tzarich leirid afilu yesh lo biyad miyaniach behemto. You don't need to get off your animal, even if you have somebody you can leave it with. The kasfu gedolei harbanim she'afilu le'akev es behemto einu tzarich. The gedolei harbanim say, you don't even need to stop your animal from traveling. You want to daven? Gezunt hate. Daven while you're on your animal. Afal pi she'amru rachuv kemahalech. Ay, rachuv kemahalech dami. You would not allow to be davening while you're walking. Mikol makom eino kemahalech gamur. What does that mean? It's like, Rachuv is like mahalech, but it's not 100% like mahalech. So the simple understanding I will agree to you that of the Pshat of the Meiri, the Beis Yosef says this, is that for tefillah, What's the issue with walking? The issue is exactly, you're moving your legs and there's the tircha of walking, you focus on where you're going and everything else. But over here, if your mom is just sitting there, that issue doesn't apply. But again, it doesn't explain rachuv kimahalich. So people say rachuv kimahalich in terms of some halachic statuses, but not in terms of the tircha. But you could also read this Meiri as underlining the same theme as the Rambam. That rachuv kimahalich means you're going, you're moving, we don't say you're stationary, but we do say that you are not walking. Again, rachuv kimahalich can mean that you're moving, and that therefore many of the laws of mahalich apply to you. The outcome is the same, but not that it actually means that you're walking. Now, Rambam, by the way, in Hilchos Tamat Torah, you'll tell me what you think. I think you could read this Rambam in two ways. Says the Rambam, a very strange sentence. The entire halacha, no one comments on this. I don't know where they were hiding. Rachuv hareyu kimahalich. Someone who is riding is like they're walking. Ukeshem she'omdim ipnei ha-mahalich, kap omdim ipnei ha-rochev. What does that mean?
Someone's driving by.
And just as you stand up for a mahalich.
What?
Why would you say that?
It's like just as you do when you mahalich. Oh, actually, you read it.
Right. So this is a very ambiguous Rambam. To me, and when I think about it, in some ways, he's saying rochev ha-reyu kemahalich. It has this rochev is like a mahalich, and therefore ukeshem shom divnei mahalich kachlem nehar rochev. Otherwise, you could say no rochev areu kemahalich. In which way? That just like you have to stand up for someone who is mahalich, so too you have to stand up for someone who is omeid. No, because we're saying pshat in the Rambam that the halachic status of someone who is rochev is the same as the halachic status, not in the action. Again, not in the action of them. Everyone else is saying it's in the action. This, okay, now, just to quickly apply this. If this is found in the Rambam, which I'm definitely very not sure. This is a big chiddush, I think, to say this in the Rambam. Even though I really like my diuk from Tamat Torah 1, from 6.1, from Perek Vav Halacha Aleph, and it fits in with the girsa of the Rambam in Tumas Taras. But, even so, I think it's a chiddush to say this in the Rambam. Let's say this was the case, though. Now, okay? Let's say it's just that it means that you're moving. When it comes to wearing a yarmulke, on a roller coaster, you then have to know, back in Hilchos Yarmulke, what's the issue with four amos. If it's, in fact, strictly an issue of walking, then you don't have to say that, again, the action of riding on a roller coaster is the action of walking. Because according to the Rambam, it might not be. So, something to think about, but let's get into the real lumdas over here with the last 10 minutes that we have. So we talk about the Ran, about the legs being the same. I'm going to read you another Gemara, which seems to be a Stira, as Tosfos is going to point out. This is talking about the halachas of Kinyan Chatzer. Amarle, it has to do with Gittin, it has to do with other things that can fall into a Chatzer, and you get a Kinyan there. Amarle, Rav Papa, Rav Huna Breder Vishua, our best friend, by the way, Rav Huna Breder Vishua, Larava. Elameyata, if so, hayam alech besfina. Let's say you're fishing, you're going out in your fishing boat. Maybe not in your fishing boat, maybe in your regular boat. And all these fish, you know, have you ever heard of the flying fish? They go, wee, wee. And flying fish comes out of the water, thinks he's going back in the water, boom, falls in your boat. Says the Gemara, what, are you kidding me? You think you're not going to be kona in such a case? Because he had just previously said that an animal walking is a chatzir mahaleches. Okay? A wagon, whatever. Amarle. So, Rava responds to them and says, Enachanami, I agree with you that if fish jump into your boat, of course you're kona the fish. You know why? Sfina meinach naicha. The ship is sitting in one place. The ship isn't moving. Umayahu dekamamtula. It's not that the ship is moving along the water. The water moves the ship. The ground is moving. But is the ship moving? No, the ship is considered stationary.
So let's see.
So you should jump up and down. Rachuv Gemahalich! Rachuv Gemahalich! What's going on here? So obviously, in the Gemara itself, by the way, what's Rava's chiluk, just before we get to screaming about Rachuv Gemahalich, that when it comes to an animal, if you're sitting on an animal, what's moving? The ground or the animal?
Animal.
The animal, obviously. When you're sitting in a boat, what's moving?
Water.
The water is moving the boat, but the boat is stationary. Yes.
No, it's not because it's
Wait, let him ask his question. Shh. Oh, so these are going to be tremendous nafkaminas. Wait. Very good. Again, the Gemara is saying, Sfina menach naicha umaya de kamamtula. The water is moving the boat. The boat is not moving. What? So there's not a piloted boat. So again, now you can start to talk about, let's say you tied, right? You can think of this. Anybody ever here been water skiing? Or jet skiing? What's it called?
Right.
Yeah. So if you tie it to, let's say you find a nice dolphin, and you tie something along its tail, and the dolphin swims through the water, and you're jet skiing. So that's one situation, right? So sailing with the wind, you could have a question. Rowing with oars, you could have a question. But the Gemara is saying the status of a boat. The Gemara is saying the status of a boat is that the boat itself is considered a stable, unmoving object, and the water is ushering it along. Now. Frektosvos. Wait, let's get through all the chilukim here, then we'll get back to it. Frektosvos. Sfina menach naich umayu de kamam tu la'af al-gav tereh kamat kidushin amrin tamach lacham rachub kem halach dami. Tzestira. Let's say tamach lacham's in a boat. He's riding on a boat. Rachub kem halach. Whatever happened to rachub kem halach? The action of riding is the same as the action of walking, says Tosfos, Tira. Says Tosfos, because it's not the same halachic din. Listen to this brilliant answer in Tosfos. Hacha over here, chatzar mishum yadis, Rabbi. Says Tosfos, you have to look at what's required in each case. Why is a chatzar, and again, we're not getting into all of the chatzar mishum yad, everything else, yad, shlichos, this, that, I'm not getting into that. But Tosfos says, over here, chatzar mishum yadis, Rabbi, meaning we get know the kinyan chatzar from the kinyan of a yad. Meaning for a yad, when I'm getting something from you, what do? I walk over to you, I put out my hand, you put something in my hand. Now, let's say I'm walking, and you put something in my hand. This is exactly the case. My yad, like my chatzar, is sitting stable in one place, and my body is dragging it around, or the water is dragging my boat around. It's tosfos, because that's all you need here. Meaning, you can say an other in Yanim Rachuv Kimahalech in regards to a Talmud Chacham. But over here, we have to make a Dumiyat Yad. And there he says it has to be Dumiyat Lachzim Meshkan. Each set of halachic scenarios has its own comparison to make. And in that case, say Tosfos, it's very simple. This is a case of Chatzim Shum Yad. And here, the boat is acting in the same way as a Yad, which is what makes it a chatzar, because the water is moving it just like the hand moves alongside the body. The hand itself is not moving. Now, the Sefer HaMikna, which is most commonly mispronounced as Sefer HaMakneh, has a very fascinating suggestion where we finally get to our Zimun case. Okay, this is very gishmak.
Was he
what? He's an Achron. He's an Achron, yeah. Early Achronim, but an Achron. Not early Achron. Yibaylehu, at least I think. Maybe it was later than I thought. Maybe 1600s, I think. You'll have to look it up afterwards. Ibaylu rakim halach dami kasev atazbi or deyasim in reish and beit yoshe bagala nami kemahalach dami v'chein dinil in gili harosh ayin sham umagin avram kasev asim in kuf samach zayin gam kein the yoshe bagala havei kerochev mashe in kein besfina ayin sham. Okay, he talks about how you're all in one place and you're all running together. You could be that you can make a zimun on any of these things, but he's mechalik there. He says even though this is magin avram what he says. Even though Yoshev ba'agala havi karochev, sitting in a wagon, like the Taz said, is rochev, a svina is not rochev. 1 second. Does Tosfos' answer work for this? No, because we're applying them both to a third situation. We're applying this now to a case of Zimun. Tosfos' chiluk was, this is in regards to chatzar, and this is in regards to standing for a Talmud Chacham. But now we're applying them both. The Magen Avraham is being mechalik between them in a third case. Does that mean the Magen Avraham learned like Tosfos? Obviously not. The Magen Avraham is saying, no, there's a difference, a fundamental difference between an agala and a sfina. What's that fundamental difference? Venerally, denafka lehachki lukse, mehadisa v'vamut v'yadav tesam and beis. Sfina menach naicha umayah de kamamtula. Says, I think God came from this Gemara. Lechora kasha, da kasva tosfosham divir maskal sfina v'chulei v'yafa, God v'yagam d'shun v'yadav divir maskal rach, v'yadav d'yadav chachach v'chulei. He brings Tosfos. And that's why the reason I'm just zipping through this. Okay, mashma de sfira le dami l'rachuv. Right, if you think of Tosfos, what's Tosfos saying? Both of them have the same status, but it's a different scenario. In the scenario standing up for a Talmud Chacham, if they passed by on a boat, Tosfos told you have to stand up. However, since it's regarding the laws of Chatzar Ma'aleches, So here it's not. Vitzarech lomar, listen to what he says. Dehasam shiny, demarilinin sfina atzma, shalotihia chatzer malaches, vishaper kasvatosis de dam yamamash the rochev. De habehema mahalaches u mamtile the rochev, kimosha maya mamtila sfina. Says it's true that in some cases, okay, just like the animal carries what's on it, so to the water carries the sfina. Listen to what he says. Aval ha'adam hayoshef al hasfina, shapir have nayach. But a person sitting on a boat, he says, is different than a person sitting on an animal. Why? Delo damya l'rochev hayoshev ala behema shiba atzma mehaleches. Says because it's how many degrees of separation are you from the movement? It's an amazing chiddush, amazing interpretation. When you're sitting on an animal, how removed are you from the thing that is moving you? You're 1 degree removed. You're sitting on an animal which is moving. When you're on a boat, however, how many degrees removed are you?
Two.
Because you're sitting on the sfina, which is being moved by the water. Again, when it comes to sitting on an animal, he says, how many degrees removed?
Four.
1 degree removed. When it comes, because the animal that you're sitting directly on is moving. That's why he says, Rachav Kimahal. But when it comes to a sfina, since you are standing on a sfina, and the sfina is also not moving, the sfina is also unmoving. And only the water is moving the sphina. He says, that's the chiluk between them. Listen to what he says, a tremendous chiddush. Wait. Okay, I'm going to skip down a little bit.
But the same case is true with a chomor and a sphina.
Wait. Listen to his chiluk over here. He's going to get there, okay? First of all, he brings a raya from Rashi.
Can I argue the Mishnah?
What?
The same case is true with a sphina and a chomor.
What's true?
You're still able to say.
No, but that's great. Because it could be that that's not totally on a din of Rachav Kimahalik. Right? As we said, it could be that the issue is only the actual tircha and the kavana breaking. That's not an issue. That we can take care of separately. He's just dealing directly with the stira between Bava Metzia, saying it's a chatzar ma'aleches, and dealing with Rachav Kimahalik. So he's saying the difference between a sfina as the Magen Avraham is mechalik, between a sfina and someone who's riding on a chamor, is how many degrees removed? What's the obvious question?
On his pshat.
And we'll finish in 2 minutes. It's okay. We had breakfast very late today. What? What's the obvious question? Let's say I'm riding in a wagon. How many degrees removed am I?
2.
I'm also 2 degrees removed. So look what he says at the bottom over here. 2.5 lines up from the bottom. Achnira does it dafka ba'agala she'asadin bechubar memuchni shalo. Ava ba'agala she'amuchni nishmetes v'asadin hu b'fnei atmo she'yoshiv alayah yeshlomar dedami l'sfina. He says it all depends on how it's constructed. And if in fact, you are 2 degrees removed, it has the same status. You're not rachav k'mahalich. And in some ways, you are more nach in a wagon, just as you are nach in a sfina if you're 2 degrees removed. I want to point you back to a diuk that I had in the Taz before, which I don't think is pshat in the Taz, but I'm going to smile at it. I mean, it's definitely not pshat in the Taz, but I'm going to smile at it anyways, because it's a good diuk. Take a look at the Taz Yeridia 242.11 on the first page. Read the last line, to Lav Shapir Avdi. Why? Why is it Lav Shapir Avdi? What does the Taz say? The yeshiva al ha'agala huki yoshev al ha'chamor huki mahalach dami. He doesn't say yeshiva al ha'agala is kamahalach. He says yeshiva al ha'agala is like you're sitting on the chamar. Why? Because maybe, and again, I don't think this is prep, but I'm telling you, l'chadude, to sharpen you over here, that the Taz maybe is saying the same pshat as the Sefer HaMikna. That when is it that we say Rachav Kimahalich, when you're 1 degree removed? These type of wagons, again, that they had in their times that were so directly connected, they were mamash like on the backs. The wagons were like mamash on the backs of the animals. It's not that it was tied and it was pulling it from way further ahead. No, these were on the backs of the animals. So he says, when you're in a wagon, it's like you're riding on an animal, and Rachav Kimahalich dami. Right? Whereas, almost like that's what the Sefer HaMikna is saying. You read it. Achner zedafka bagalash
asadin mechubar. I played many Western video games, and they have horses at the front and the wagon at the back. So that's 2 degrees removed, no?
Yeah, that's exactly what the Sefer HaMikna says. And I'm telling you that the Taz maybe is only talking about that case. Now, just to finish things up, we're not going to get a chance, obviously, to finish what I wanted to finish.
That's like in a car. You're sitting on the chair, and the wheels are moving.
Right, immediately. And you could be sitting on the engine. Right? You could be sitting like that, close to where the actual engine is. Not where, no. The whole car, I would say, is balanced on the engine. Like, it's all part of one heftzer. The question is, so two things to point out to you. First of all, the question of whether animal versus machine would be different is very possible. The machine would be different, even according to them.
The machine's moving.
Okay, and also, what's moving it in the machine? How does a motor even work? Right, think about it. The motor spins, and then the wheels. Is that 2 degrees removed? You can start to argue all these things. It's tremendous, and I'll let you do the application, because I'm not going to sit here and do it with you all day, because I don't want to hold you up. But I want you to think for a moment about the behemoth. And we're going to be machalic between different roller coasters. Who went on more than one roller coaster at Wonderland? Okay, which two roller coasters did you go on? Sorry?
This one, too.
Cyclone
was not a thing. Time Warp, and one of them... Yeah, that's not a roller coaster. Well, that's a roller coaster about that. It's a ride. I also went on more than one ride. The stunt coaster. So, which one is the one that shoots you out at the beginning? Like the stunt coaster. The stunt coaster there, how does the object move? There's an acceleration of the actual car on the track. How does Behemoth work? Anybody paid attention? There's a moving sidewalk, basically, that puts you all the way up, and you go the rest all on your gravity. It's the bottom underneath that's pulling you up. Right? It's the little chain that catches you. So on Behemoth, do you need a yarmulke according to the Sefer HaMatneh? No. Why not? It's the chain underneath that's pulling the car up. But it's not going anywhere on its own. Masha Einkein on the stunt coaster, then maybe you could argue more that there the actual car is accelerating. And then maybe there it's more like Rachav Kamalach Tami, according to this chart. Now, there's so much more to say. There is so much more to say. One, I'm going to leave you off with one more minute of stuff, because I feel terrible that you guys are missing lunch, even though you're clearly having, based on the smiles, you're clearly having a lot of fun. At least this is the most fun part of this year. Feel free to leave, by the way, and go eat lunch. I'm not keeping you here, but I will tell you a couple more things, just in short. Yes?
What about the fact that the entire solar system is hurtling through space?
No. Next. There's always that guy who asks that. I was waiting for when I asked you, when the wagon is going along the ground, is the ground moving? I was waiting for the guy to say, yes, of course. There's always that guy. See, especially the grade nines, graduating grade nines, they just learned astronomy, so they know everything. But no, that's not the way it works. Now, two more comments, just a quick, very fascinating piece. Since Tiferes Yisrael and the Kalkalasa Shabbos over here, he doesn't want to be mechalek between, I mean, not really, doesn't really want to be mechalek between a spina and a wagon. Lots of lumdus there. He's talking about, I was trying to figure out what this is. You see this word that comes up again, the fourth word there, dumpwagen, is actually a steam-powered car. That people were asking about, can you travel in a steam-powered car on Shabbos? Let's say the Goy is the one driving and he's also being driven. Fascinating. Exactly. The Germans are always at the forefront of the car revolution. So anyways, a fascinating Shaila from Tiferes Yisrael.
What's the section?
Now, wait. So again, I told you 2 minutes. This Downloads the Wayu Torah, I couldn't find the shir that this is from, but there was a nice shir on Rachav Kamahalech, but I was looking for the audio this year. I couldn't find it. I found only the source sheet. He has a Sefer Chavetzel Sasharon, which I thought, lule the Divrei Achronim, just to say pshat in the Gemara, I thought that this was a very good din, a very good suggestion in Rachav Kamahalech, but obviously the fact that all the Achronim argue on it is a big issue. But what I originally thought to suggest, and I saw it over here that he rejects it, and I agree with him that based on the Rishonim Achronim that say otherwise you should reject it, but not as an actual svar in the Gemara, the Rachav Kamahalech is only in regards, okay, and what's Rachuv mean? I mean, I'm not so good with grammar. What's Rachuv? So what is a rachuv, as opposed to a rochev? Someone being ridden, right? Rachuv kimahalech. Why does it say rochev kimahalech?
The
person who's being ridden. Why doesn't it say the rider? So, I know. So why does it say rachuv?
And someone is being rode on top.
So he's talking about the camel.
So, no, I would say like this. Perhaps you could be medayik from that language, but I was going to say this misfar again. Just pshat in the Gemara, it's not in any way true lahalacha because all the Rishonim Achronim reject this. But that maybe the din of rachuv kimahalech is only in regards to the person who is not riding. Again, we're getting back to more of what we said in the Rambam before, right? When you're looking at the Talmud Chacham, rachuv kimahalech, that in regards to you who is outside, the rider, the one who is being ridden, is like they are walking. But maybe you're not, maybe not the rochev, maybe not the person in regards to themselves is considered like mahalach. Okay. Maybe they themselves, right? I'll read it here, right? Ben li yashiv dechol din rachiv kemahalach enu ala klapim mishu michutz lamerkav. Ach klapim mishu besocha merkav enu chashiv kemahalach. That's his suggestion. He says we have to reject it because all the Achronim bring it up in 100 other different cases where this is not the case. And it's true, the Achronim do bring it up in all these cases. However, you maybe suggest that. And the for Rabbi Danziger, first I did two things for Rabbi Danziger over here. So Rabbi Danziger, as you heard yesterday, decided to actually take his yarmulke on Behemoth and see if he could hold it the entire time. And he brought it back up with him. And so I was saying, why is he doing this? What kind of mishugas is this? So two things for Rabbi Danziger. For Rabbi Danziger, meaning number one, mashmas number one, is that he loves Rabbi Avadia. So I want to bring a mitzvah from Rav Avadia. Reason for Rav Danziger number two is why would Rav Danziger do such a mishugas? So Rav Avadia brings, as we mentioned yesterday, that the Zohar says that the isser for going with the uncovered head is for a Talmud Chacham to go four amos. So Rav Danziger, for the rest of us, it's only a midas chasidus anyways to wear a yarmulke. So we don't go on the roller coaster without a yarmulke, it's fine. But when you're such a Talmud Chacham like Rav Danziger, so Rav Avadia, then you have a chiyuv, the Rambam, the Zohar, that you're not allowed to go Arba Amos, so he wanted to be Choshen, so he held on to his yarmulke. Anyways, I really want you to go to lunch, enjoy yourselves. I consider, you know, we say it's an amusement park. This is an amusement park. It's learning, it's geschmack, it's not really against Tonogel HaLacha, but it's really, really fun to go through this. So, again, have a wonderful day.